Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
We are talking today about something that we believe we've all partaken in as the body of Christ. Whether in scripture or living people today, like you and me, we have experienced delay. We have gone through things that makes God's word look like...
Was it even real?
Was it real? Is it going to come to pass? You know, am I lying to myself? Did I make this thing up?
Yeah.
You know, and faith becomes hard.
Yeah.
It gets hard. It gets difficult. There are trying times. There are times where you can even doubt the words you've seen God do in the past. So today we're talking about that. We're talking about what to do when faith is hard.
Yes, it's so nice that we have the Holy Book to tell us how other people walked through their faith. For example, I would always look at Jesus and be like, nah, that assignment was easy. Because you're God, you know why you're here. Why are you crying in the Garden of Gethsemane? But God had to work out his faith as well, right?
Yeah.
David, for example, went through several things before he actually became king. And those things were very, very difficult. And I feel personally like in the body, we are huge on testimony. Listen, when we get together in a group, whether it's Wednesday night service or it's Sunday service, sometimes we'll say, who has a praise report?
Yes.
I love that word, praise report. Such a beautiful word. And we come to the front and we exhort one another in the word. We talk about what went right. We talk about the promises that came to pass, the miracles that happened that week. But I think we need to add something to that program. We need to add when faith is hard. Listen, I'm standing in faith about something right now, and I'm going through the most. The reason I'm saying that, like, it might not be a very popular opinion, but it normalizes the faith walk. I don't think there's enough of a conversation around what that faith walk looks like when you're in it.
Yes.
So what happens is a lot of the time you get tired, you know? But scripture warns of the fatigue. Those who walk with God, you know, they renew their strengths. And they soar on wings as eagles. So scripture foretells that there will be a fatiguing. You will get tired. You will feel like, when is this thing going to happen? But it's just my personal opinion that we don't talk about it enough. So when you find yourself in your thing, it's easy to be like, I just want to give up.
Or to think that the people who received their promises in scripture didn't have a hard time because you just paging through pages. You go 1, 2, 3, this is the beginning, 4, 5, 6, that's the end. You're viewing it like a story and not someone's life testimony. You know, think of Sarah. Think of Sarah being old, expecting a child, and not seeing it happen. Now, in that moment, God even has her. It literally took God having her pray for other women who were barren to revive something in her. You know, to revive something in her. Because your circumstances do speak to you. Your circumstances do bring questions that can make you really think, did God really say I should do that? Or will I really be healed? Will I really have this child? And we dehumanize Bible characters, even pastors. You know, I heard a pastor saying, I think it was just a few Sundays back, how, you know, someone came and said to them that they loved the book that they wrote because That person didn't think that pastors went through anything.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, hey, you have more access to God than we do. So, because you're probably the one preaching there, so things must be easy for you.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's not the case. Mm-hmm. We are all contending for our faith.
That's true. And, you speak about people in Scripture. Let's speak about people in everyday life. The fact that you're waiting on a word your neighbor just got, you're tarrying for a business that, Bill Gates is really successful in. But speaking of the people that we know, it's very easy to say, oh, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, the garage, They started in the garage, you start in the garage.
Yeah.
But how long were they there for before they are the people that we know now?
Mm.
It's important to understand that there is a season of, I call it perfecting. Because in that season, when you're waiting on the word of God, it's not like God is just sitting there either.
Yeah.
There's so many things that must happen within the promise carrier for the promise to even come to pass. Mm-hmm. So I tend to say this a lot about Noah, that had it rained the day God said it would rain, Noah wasn't even who he was supposed to be in order to sail the seas.
Mm.
That there's a character growth.
Yes.
That allows you to step into that word. So if God says you're a king, you're a queen, you're a king and a queen outside of time, because God doesn't exist within the realm of time. So he always sees you in your perfection. But what must you go through in order to walk and rule and speak and command like a queen or a king? So certain things will happen. We see it with Esther, we see it with David, that really grows the character that can carry the promise.
Mm.
There is a character that can carry the promise. But until the promise comes to pass, I quickly want to look at a few scriptures. But for now, Psalm 77 verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Danny said earlier, you start, even the things God did before, you're like, can he even do it again? But scripture says in Psalm 77 that when times are hard, remember the deeds of the Lord. When times are hard, remember the time he did get you through. Because a lot of the times, the enemy works with our memory. I always say memory is power. If you can take your memory, you can take what the Lord said about where you are now. Mm. You can take the path that God said you should be walking. And so if the faith journey is hard, it's supposed to be. Because if you could do it, you wouldn't need faith.
Yes.
I mean, that's the essence of faith, right? I can't do it. Mm. I trust you, God, to do it. By trusting you to do it, it means I don't know. I don't know what's coming. Even for those who walk in a prophetic gift, scripture says we pray and prophesy in part.
God's not giving you the full picture.
Yeah.
He's not giving you the full picture.
Yeah.
He's saying, look, go there. Mm-hmm. All you know is, okay, I've put a location on Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call this Faith Maps. And when I get there, who's waiting for me?
Yeah.
How are they waiting for me?
Yeah.
What's expected of me?
Mm.
God will not tell you. But what he will tell you is the journey you go into is 71 Ks.
Mm.
Take enough petrol.
Mm. And
are you going to hike when you get there?
Mm.
He, and sometimes God knows who you are.
I was just
you starting on the journey versus who you will become.
At the end.
At the end.
Yeah.
So, but just in that short drive from point A to point B, there's something that's going to change in
within you.
Yes.
And character-wise, right, the world, typically we love a planner. We love a planner. If you're going to have an event, what do? You get an events planner. If you're going to have a friend who's a planner, that's the one you go to for all the trips and all the surprises and all of that.
Yes.
And we really uplift that character trait because it means you're orderly.
Mm-hmm.
So is our Lord. He's an orderly God. But sometimes God allows things to build your character or to balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because personally, right, I'm a planner, not in the sense that I do events or anything, but I need to know what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it came to me through my father.
Mm-hmm.
He would always tell me, if by October you don't know what your next year looks like, you're in trouble. Now, he wasn't wrong, because it was putting in me a sort of excellence to be responsible with what I'm doing with that year. So his whole thought behind that was, you never wait to pass an exam. You say, how well will I pass? So you need to know next year, I'm in matric no matter what. The question is it 50s or is it 90s? That's how well you should plan. So I remember waiting for my matric results. For me, it was, how many distinctions did I get? It wasn't even, did I pass? And because of that characteristic, I didn't get the amount of distinctions I want. I didn't even care that I passed. I was so ungrateful about my matric results. I had to repent like 5 years later, because I never celebrated how good they were, because my mindset was, how many distinctions did I get? Not even, did I pass? So there's an aspect of that that's good. But when God steps into the picture, he takes the reins of that thing, and suddenly a Letitia starts struggling. God, what is this? How will it work? And personally, that's part of my hardship in faith, because I want God to not prophesy in parts. You must tell me everything. You must tell me the color, the smell, the hue. What's this part stuff? The God will tell me something in part. I'm like, Danny, what's the other part? He's like, that's not for Danny either. That's for you and I. And what I've personally learned in my hardship when I'm walking a faith thing with God is, there's a dance, guys. And it's beautiful. I've actually learned to enjoy the dance. It's like a puzzle where God is taking you here and here and here. And at some point, it becomes exciting.
Yes.
I've heard people say that before. Like, you know, like the super, super spiritual people that are like with it.
Yeah.
God is about to take you through exciting times. And I'm like, it's not exciting. I don't like surprises. Like, Danny, you know me. I don't like surprises. Like, tell me where you're going.
Yeah, my wife wants to know where she's going.
He actually said
and her husband and their family love surprises.
Oh, this is a surprise house. Okay. A previous episode when we spoke about women and their stuff. Yes, please, if you haven't. That episode, Women and Their Stuff. Danny spoke about how he told me we were going to a safari, and on the day we were leaving, we ended up going to the city. And he didn't understand why I was packing, unpacking and repacking. It's because plans, guys. I need to know what I'm going to look like in the bush, and then I need to know what I'm going to look like in the city.
Yeah.
And I think that character trait for God is something in me that he's just like. You know, and for me personally,
there's a good thing to it.
Yeah.
But with God, you need to know when to just trust it.
Yes, and when he's balancing you out. So
that
being said, what's one of your personal examples of a faith thing that was hard?
Wow, I've got too many.
Yeah. Actually, do you have time?
Look, for me, probably the hardest part is I am a doer. I get things done. So it's always hard for me when God gives me a word and says, wait, don't do anything. Don't try to help me. Don't try to direct this, because I'm a fixer. You know, if something's broken, give me the glue. Let me put that glue on it and fix it. So to watch things break has always been a challenge. It's something that God has had to perfect, especially in my marriage, where my wife will be holding my hand, just let it go. I can see you would be somewhere and something's about to go wrong, and I can see it's about to go wrong. So I want to get involved. I want to help. But it's not my place.
It's funny, for the first few years of our marriage, whenever we would go to events, I was single. Because this man right here would be by the lights. He would serve the food. He would plug the cameras. And I'd be like, where is my husband?
We came to the event as guests.
And so one day when we finally talked about it, and the Lord really like convicted him, and he came to me and said, Tish, I need help. So after he said that, we had like, I call it the test event, because his sister-in-law, our mother-in-law, was, I had her 50th or something. And we went to the party and the tent started falling on the one side. And Danny's leg starts twitching, like he is about to lose it.
I can see the tent.
So I take his hand.
Let's go.
And I put it under the table like this.
We can fix it now before it breaks.
And I whispered to him and I said, let things break. Let things break. And guess what? Somebody fixed it like that.
Yes. To say let things break doesn't mean that it will break. It's just that you need to know that you're not called to everything. And for me, it's been liberating to know that God is in control and to give up that control or to also know that there's service in rest.
Wow.
There is service in rest.
Where is the offering basket? I need to.
Because some of you, if you were God, you're not going to sit on the seventh day. You know, you still want to do more. But God rested. And we have to learn when to do and when not to do.
Yeah.
Parents with children, there's going to be a time where God tells you, do not interfere.
Can you imagine, like, talking of the faith walk being hard? Mary just had to sit there and watch them crucify Jesus. I don't know how she did that. You know, you talk about humanizing the scriptures. That's the stuff that I'm talking about. How do you not make a scene for them to get your child off the cross and really be like, God, really? Is this what it's going to look like? Because even if you're foretold, your son is here to fulfill this purpose. Like, I would think, the planner, I would say, you will give me the emotion. I will switch off. I won't care. I won't cry. But she went through all of that.
She's a mother.
Yeah.
We have to know that whether you're a pastor, woman of God, businessman, you name it, male, female, tall, short, parent or child, you are human. And as a human being, there's going to be an aspect of you, like a wiring in you, that will want to respond to situations in a certain way.
Yeah.
If you're waiting like Noah and that rain's not coming and a year goes by, a decade goes by, another decade goes by, you will begin to think like, is this even right? Because now you're even going to look back and think, look, I heard this 20 years ago. Maybe I was just young and, you know, exaggerating. But trusting God looks like that. I remember there's a word God gave me in 2005. That I'm seeing come to pass now in 2022. And I've had to look back and think, wow, Lord, you spoke this in 2005. And at some point, it almost felt like, is that still even going to happen?
Yeah. You know what I think is interesting is we are a finite being. Created by an infinite God. So when God speaks, he sees infinity. When we speak, we see us and our time and our completion right now. And it's important to discern God's time versus our time. Where God can be saying soon, soon can be tomorrow and soon can be 5 years from now. Does God see time the way that we do? But just because our definition of time may not be the same does not mean that the word will still not come to pass. That's what's important to understand. How long you've waited, and this is us assuming it's a word from God. It's a tried word. It's a confirmed word. It's a God-spoken word. God is not limited by our humanity. But it's important to understand our humanity so that when we start feeling that way, we don't give up.
Yes.
But we rather go to the cross from whence our help comes from, right? In those moments to say, God, you gave me this word, help me. What's interesting about scripture, whether we look at Psalm 77 verse 19, which I'm just about to read, or Isaiah 43, 19, when it speaks about doing a new thing, the way out is sometimes the difficult way.
Mm.
So we're going to go into Psalm 77, 19, which says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footsteps were not seen.
Mm.
Nothing is done without reason by our God.
Mm.
Why through the sea? They could have gone on land, but there was something about the sea, a sort of baptism that took place, a sort of transformation that took place between one shore and the next. He knew that it's through that sea, it's through that impossibility that a whole nation was going to be changed, not just Moses. And even in Isaiah 43:19, when it says, the Lord is doing a new thing, do you not see it? He is making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do you realize that he cannot make a way, according to that scripture, unless it's through a wilderness? And there's no river without a desert. Sometimes we just rejoice. Isaiah 43:9, he's making a way in the world. Well, if you're not in the wilderness, that scripture is not for you.
And the wilderness is not sanctuary.
That's the thing. The wilderness, wilderness is not comfortable. That's the thing.
The wilderness doesn't have air conditioning.
Yes.
You are going to sweat.
Yeah. And you're going to sweat some things out. And I think it's important for us to focus on the fact that it is not for nothing. The tough part of the faith builds you because the walk of salvation is not foretold by you. You don't know what it will take to finish your salvation. And is he not the perfecter of what he started, right? That he will finish the good thing he started in you. So God walks with us differently according to his infinite wisdom of what we need in order to finish our salvation to perfection. So to trust him that even in the walk to the promise, he is making you equipped to carry the promise. Guys, Jesus couldn't carry that promise at 12 years old.
And
he had to get up.
Yeah, he couldn't wait.
Even just the weight of the cross. Come on, he had to be older and wiser and stronger. So there is an appointed time and for everything.
Maybe in conclusion, if we look at that scripture, your way of escape for your people was through the sea. By the time they reached the sea, they'd seen plagues after plague after plague.
They had built up the faith.
They built up a faith.
Come on.
To stand, they asked for gold and it was given to them by their oppressors. So they needed to be another kind of trust to see the water and trust that you're going to walk through it without it falling back down on you. Guys, this is where we close off for today. Thank you for watching Surviving Life with the Vanbellys. I believe we might have a part two for this one.
Absolutely. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vanbellys.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vanbellys, you can just type in at the Vanbellys and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vanbelly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vanbelly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.